Anne Hughes, Temecula, September 5th, 1998, Tape 2.
Don't allow our mind, our I am not, to place incredible limitations. Let's live now, because that's the immortality we are talking about. As you go into further creations of Creator, yes, in due course, even our body vehicles will be transmuted to those levels where you can take your body anywhere. But let's start. Let's get, as I said, past the third dimension first, shall we? As I say to many dear ones, when lovely ones say to me that they're on the 15th, 16th, 17th dimension, I say, sweetheart, let's get past the third one first. Let's get those ones organized. The three me levels, as we call them. The three me levels, or the expanded levels of love, never talk like that anyway. No one needs to, because that's the small eye of the ego talking every single time. To acknowledge the ascended levels, and I must do this very clearly. What I mean by the ascended levels are these levels of your higher consciousness fields, your expanded levels that sent you in for this experience and said, well, be with you all the way. That even when you were out of incarnation this time, you were again realized you had great ones working with you. But what the ascended levels have requested me to do, well, very lovingly, they have said, please, please, please tell them, there is only the unlimited and the limited. The unlimited spirit is all that is. It doesn't matter whether we are perceived as the ascended masters, the celestial, the archangelic realms, it no longer matters. These are merely fields of consciousness that we will work with you in solar levels until you're ready to come directly into your full I am presence. We will steer you, but please do not make yet another idolatry here. Please do not worship us. We are very aware what is going on. And we're saying, don't replace us. Go direct to your higher levels, and your higher levels know exactly what level, not more or less, you have chosen to incarnate here as this projection in the physical manifestation now. So some of you at levels more than you even realize beyond ascended masters, I'm going to say that very clearly to you. It is only your minds that say, as you've been waking up, and yes, we are very aware that a new religion is taking off, and metaphysics has been important as a halfway house. But there's no such thing as spirituality in due course. There is only spirit in matter. All right, dear ones. So I just to encourage you. Thank you for listening to me, dear hearts. I don't know whether there is anything I can assist you with, or help you with, or any questions you want to ask, or anything like that. Yes, beloved. Yes, beloved. Okay, what I want to say, and perhaps I can address this one very powerfully. Now, please understand, I have said right from the beginning, I do not negate anybody's path. Again, what happens is, as the higher levels come in, we always filter what we want to experience. So most of the time, even when the ascended levels or people channel, they'll only work to the abilities of their filter, if we can put it that way, because very often what we call some human conditioning comes in to how they have perceived that channeling that came through. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Right. Now, with reference to when I talk about workshops, we have for hundreds and thousands of years gone down workshops. Mystical schools, it doesn't matter what we call them. And what I'm saying here very clearly, that as you open up to the presence, there is nothing in you that decides how you're going to be used anymore. Now, if it so happens that your gift, for some reason or other, the presence so powerfully says, again, you can convey a certain gift or a tool, the reason I use this expression and why I talk about letting go of the workshops, I say true love never charges. That's what I mean by that. I have very clearly and will specifically say, I and my Father are one, and there's nothing to charge. Why would I charge for the presence of God? Why would I put copyright on anything when it's the Beloved speaking through me? This is what I mean by that. Most of the time we hold workshops and they're based on fear. As I said very clearly, and I'm going to address it. You've asked me the question. I said, what happens most of the time, because our consciousness has been based on limited consciousness about how we perceive money and everything about lack of abundance and limitation, we have created our separation so powerfully, there is so much abundance on this planet, we don't even realize it's there. We have created the mind, not yours, constantly. And even those dear ones who call themselves highly spiritual are still in their fears, because they still have to charge and go looking and advertising. I said, love doesn't need to advertise a thing. And I'm very clear about that. Some people may not be too amused with Francis saying this, but that's fine. I have no problems. Love, as I say I am, doesn't need a popularity contest. It never did. So I'm very clear when somebody asks me the question. But I'm not here to negate if dear ones, with their gifts, are presented through their realization that the beloved wishes to use them as an instrument through that gift of bringing some people together, but they don't have to go looking. That's what I mean. When you know you're the beloved, you don't have to look for anybody. They come looking for you. Love never, ever goes to convert. Love is only ever invited, little one. Do you see what I'm saying here? And that's what I mean by workshops. Those true workshops will be those dear ones who are completely in trust to the divine, and the divine will steer them and give them everything they require all the way. They won't need any titles in front of their names or any degrees after it or anything like that, because they are here as instruments of the divine, and I am has no labels of any sort. Again, if people want to come together and to what we call come together and raise consciousness in love, but even the codings, again, I'm going to let you into a little secret. We create illusions to break illusions. Make sense? Again, the higher levels with great love, when they stroke the ego of the child up to a certain extent, and then sooner or later the rug gets pulled out very fast. Because sooner or later the ego or the little me has to go and the true I am comes in. It is, again, to know that, you know, when we talk about islands of light, I say, beloved, it only requires one surrendered being on this planet for the community to take off. Community is love itself. And when you realize it's not about me or anything, I'm sitting here talking to you, beloved. This is just an instrument. That's all it is. You know, I was invited, so I came. All right, dear heart. And the instrument is, again, I am my father of one. There is only the beloved that speaks through me. I wouldn't dream of having the arrogance to say I have anything to teach to anybody, dear heart. I don't. All right, dear one. Yes, dear. I think this dear one was asking. Yes, beloved. All right, beloved. Let me explain this to you. Bear in mind you are also created the unmanifest state as well, so you have no gender of any sort. The only reason that we are giving gender to consciousness here is because Earth is the feminine or the creative nature itself. So, of course, she is considered a feminine being because she is the producer, she is the creation. Creator is the unmanifest state. So, of course, that's considered what we call the yang or the male. We're only giving it in dualized concepts because the only dualized concept that takes place is in creation. There's no other dualized concept. When you connect with your higher levels, the reason I use the expression father and the reason I use this expression of stepping down in energies is when you go direct to your presence, and that's I prefer the word presence, it has neither gender male nor female. All that we're doing is assisting in our creation or rebirthing. So we look at it from a feminine point of view. Do you see what I mean? Now, the feminine point of view is at the same time looking at the form point of view, which is the male, the yang. So we're rebirthing another child, which is form, and that's yang being rebirthed. Only in what we're doing at the moment is as the energies are stepping down, we are balancing yin and yang together. There is no such thing in due course. You realize that you are completely oneness. The only realization is I'm very aware that I'm androgynous. Now, what I mean by that is I have female manifestation, but I'm completely married in my male consciousness. So there is nothing that sees me one way or the other way. I am that. It's the presence speaking through this projection that is chosen to project as a female more than anything else to have an experience. Does that make sense to you? So what we're saying to you is that you are simply, when you opened up as a channel, you started to open up because your receivers came online. Now your receivers are your crystalline structure in your physics. So what happened? We have within us, in Earth, we have the reflective consciousness of Earth constantly. So we have crystalline energy. And they are receivers and transmitters. You are a biotransducer yourself. You're an actual transformer. The greatest transformer is unconditional love. So you then let those energies download into your every particle of your physics, your DNA, your RNA. You open up to it, and suddenly you are irradiated with a higher consciousness. And that is the what we call the Christic Christ energy coming through, beloved. All right, dear one? Does that make sense to you? All right, dear one. Yes, dear heart. All right. Okay, let me explain it to you first of all. I'm going to give you yet another agenda here, which is an interesting one, which you may understand. When this first experience took place on earthly planet, it was an unknown quantity. There were many, many seedings that came in. It was a very young experience, and the result of that experience was that souls got trapped in matter. The reason they got trapped in matter is the consciousness was so powerful of its matter consciousness that matter held souls, and souls couldn't wake up to who they... Souls were here merely to transmute and to experience, to enjoy being in physical, but not to stay there all the time. That was it. Then what happened was there was, in solar consciousness, a rescue bid. The rescue bid was when, and I don't know whether anybody knows, and this is absolutely, and we're talking about solar, bear in mind, because macrocosm has been in charge all the way and knows exactly what its historical solar consciousness fields are all about. We're talking about time fields. There was a decision then, at one stage, they were going to obliterate this actual experience on this earthly planet because it had become a prison almost. We were bound in matter so powerfully we couldn't wake up. The souls couldn't wake up. What they did then, they sent in higher consciousness evolutions to integrate here and to raise the consciousness. It started through a great energy field called Sanat Kumara of Venus. And the Venusian planet assisted this consciousness to raise its consciousness. So many souls came in purely voluntarily to walk on this planet, to take human incarnation, and to, through their energies, to raise the consciousness and get something moving. Even those souls got stuck as well. But because you were the guys who came in, it's many of you that are now being given the opportunity from your higher levels and being told, we have to get it moving now. And that's really what is happening. We are here, our main purpose here is to assist earthly planet herself. That's our main purpose. Because when we realize we are love, then we are simply the projection of all that is in the manifest state, which is helping to divinitize a creation or to divinitize a planetary consciousness. Now, we are saying very clearly here that there are billions of souls here that may never awaken, but they will still continue their journeys into what we call third dimensional consciousness, as we call it, which is based on separation. That's fine, because Creator is constantly creating, so there are new fields of energy coming in to pick up the slack, as we would say. All right? Exactly. Yes. And all is well. Because Creator knows exactly what it's doing, and there is no judgment, there never has been. Okay. Yes, dear heart. It's beyond that. The only reason Jesus was able to do that was because his complete confidence in his higher levels was so powerful. We have a perfect example of when Peter came towards him. He saw his... Jesus walking across the water to him, and they were in the boat. I asked him about this, and he said that when Peter walked towards me, he knew he was in the presence. He felt his presence, and suddenly his mind came in, bang, he was in the water. Do you see what I'm saying here? When you know the divinitization of matter is when you know you're the beloved. But the beloved, he didn't have, Yeshua did not have to do tricks of any sort. There was none of that. It wasn't necessary. People saw him as a magician. No. That was not necessary. We've had many magicians who can do the most amazing things. But he was the beloved here. He incarnated the Christ consciousness, where he knew that he and his Father were one, and that he was a projection here. So there was nothing for him to fear with reference to his body vehicle. He had no consciousness of his body vehicle. He saw it, but he had no consciousness with it. So he was able to do anything in a manifestation of a body vehicle. And that's what we mean by the divinitization of matter. We've got a beautiful dear one called Satchasai Baba. Now, this is a fully conscious being, and there are many more, not just Satchasai Baba, but he is fully conscious, as a full conscious being walking on this planet. He has no interest in his body vehicle. He's even said, I'll leave it when the time is ready and come and take another one. Do you see what I'm saying here? And yet he can do things, but he does it more to assist the children and to get their attention, because he's aware he's working with the child consciousness most of the time, and he just wants their attention to get them moving. That's all. Yes. All right, the divinitization can come to us at any stage on our journey, and it has been for hundreds of thousands of years. We've had many souls who have gone through the divinitization of matter. It's been done in different paradigms, and what we mean by paradigms is that in the past, some of the so-called ascended masters have done it through totally different techniques. They've done it through the mystical schools and through the Egyptian initiations and many other things. Jeshua Ben Joshua was the first to show what we call the divinitization of matter without any intellectual programs of any sort. He was the first. And that being the case, he then set the ball rolling for the final divinitization of this earthly planet, where you can wake up, and this is what's happening to all of you now. You're waking up, and we're saying to stay awake, and that is the divinitization of matter. You then let the presence fully take over. You then see yourself as the macrocosm, simply in the microcosm. That's when you stand back and watch yourself as the macrocosm in the microcosm itself. Do you understand what I'm saying here? All right, perhaps I can share something that may assist you. This manifestation left her physical body officially for half an hour and was declared dead. Was fully conscious at the time when it took place. And then had an opportunity to walk right back in again, because that was what we call the divinitization of matter. I knew death didn't exist. Even though it was hard for the medical people at the time. Do you see what I'm saying here? That, again, there was no interest. I only agreed to come back into this body consciousness so that, because I had said, I will be with my brothers and assist whatever way that I can serve them. But there was no egoic level involved. I had an opportunity to go and do other things. But again, at the time, and this is where I'll share with you a beautiful experience, and maybe it will help, with a Yogananda. Now, I have left my body vehicle. I am walking along a street just outside of Paris. And I've just been doing some service, as we call it, only under the instructions of my higher levels, and the I Am Presence, as we call it. And the next minute, I walked right out of my body vehicle. And I watched everything that took place here, and stood with my brothers of the light, and they said, "You're out." And I went, "Whoa, I'm out." And they said, "Yes, you're out." Now, I didn't have a heart attack. I had nothing like that, nothing. And they said, "What do you want to do?" And I looked at them, and there's a few of the guys and the girls standing there, and you know, I know all of these people. And I'm not talking about astral planes, I'm talking about the actual the planes of light itself. And they said, I said, "Are you telling me I've completed everything on this earth?" They said, "Yes, you're complete. You don't have to incarnate into this manifestation again. You don't have to be born through the birth canal even." And standing at the side of me was Yogananda. And now I had connected with a few of them already, but he's standing at the side of me, and he's looking at me, and he's very intently looking at me. And I look at him, and he says to me, "You know, you can do something that we didn't do." And I said, "What?" He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you into a story." He said, "You'll find evidence of my body being incorruptible for 3 weeks before I left this earthly planet." And I said, "Yes, well." He said, "Well, what I didn't know was that I had an opportunity to divinitize this body manifestation." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "I came down a lineage of masters through the Eastern Vedantas." And he said, "That's always, again, one of the many paths, just like Christianity, Muslim, and whatever." He said, "Many paths." He said, "My path was searching for samadhi." And he said, "Samadhi is trying to obtain bliss." And he said, "That's when you go into meditative practices, you do all sorts of things." He said, "You come under the instruction of a master." He said, "Sri Yukteswar," I'd met this one already, "Sri Yukteswar was my da-da-da-da-da." So he said, "My whole raison d'etre as a soul, in my consciousness when I incarnated here, and that's even when I was young, I knew everything, I was waking up, I just wanted to go and find my master, I wanted to go and find my master to work with." And he said, "And I saw it as an outside person, because I'd been brought up that way in my passive energy in the Eastern spirituality." So he said, "I went looking for my master." And he said, "I went through many techniques, and I constantly, my only yearning was samadhi." And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I obtained samadhi, but outside of my body." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You can obtain it in your body." I went, "Oh my God." He said, "I didn't know till I left what was taking place." He said, "I wasn't privy at the time I had for that to take place." He said, "My soul had agreed on an agenda anyway, and I'd already written the script that I wanted." But he said, "What you can do is you can walk right back into that body." Now, standing there at the side was also, as I know him, as Yeshua ben Joseph. I don't know him as Lord Jesus. Many call him that. That's the Greek, and that's fine. And it's his true Aramaic name, or the facet that incarnated as Yeshua ben Joseph, you know. And he's standing there. And I'm saying, so you're saying I can walk right back into this body? And they said, yes. And they said, you're doing something that we never had the opportunity to do. Jeshua was the only one who did it. And he looked at me, and I love this one. And he turned around and he said to me, and he's got a big grin on his face. And I'm saying, guys, you mean I can walk back into this body? Yes, you can. They said, you can project another body if you want. You can actually project one. Because you don't have to be born through the birth canal. You can have a choice to be born through the birth canal if you choose. But you'll be born as a fully conscious avatar. You'll be fully conscious. And they said, but what you can do is you can project it, which is what we all do at certain times when we want people's attention. We project our manifestation. Because we have no need, we do not feel we need to walk into this third dimensional consciousness. At the time, we didn't need to do it. But now it's being raised to a higher level. So this is a physicalization, the divinitization of matter itself. So he said, that was when I came in. He'd already ascended, by the way, before he actually left this earthly planet. He'd already gone through the transfiguration, gone through the resurrection. He'd already gone through, and he took those initiations so we could get moving. And he looks at me and he says to me, I said, well, so if I project a manifestation of myself, meanwhile, the Carabinieri or whatever they were looking at my passport, checking me out, El Mort, dead, paramedics, everything like that was going on. And they were ready to cart me off to the morgue, and they were taking me off. And so they would have known who I was. And then I said, well, if I project a manifestation of myself, I said, you know what's going to happen? They said, yeah, we know what's going to happen. Avatar, 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 worship, 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 all over again. You know, oh my God. And I said, this is not what we're here to do. This is not what we came for. They said, no. I said, I am this normal. They said, extremely normal. And Yeshua then turned around and said to me, not bad, only taking you half an hour. It took me 3 days. And I gave the poor paramedics the fright of their lives. They could not cope. The hospital couldn't cope with what had taken place. They said it was impossible. I said, it's spirit. Now, of course, we understand that, you know, again, to understand that not everybody is going to be awake at that level of consciousness. And that's why I'm saying this to you. There's no difference between you and me, gorgeous. None at all. You and I are one. Do you see what I'm saying about that? So, again, when we look at it externally, little did I know what was going to happen because I wasn't looking for it. And so as a result, in serving the Beloved, whatever way the Beloved wanted to use me, I didn't go looking. People were finding me. That was when it all happened, and I walked back in again to pay homage to all of you, dear heart, to pay service to all of you and to acknowledge you all, not as more or less, but as I am that itself, and to say you are the Beloved, you are the exquisite diversity of the unity being itself. You are oneness in your diversity. So don't say, what is it? No, don't compare yourselves, little ones. We've done that for hundreds and thousands of years. You don't need to do that. You are playing a part that is so phenomenal that it's impossible to explain it. It's impossible. And you're receiving assistance from every level of your expanded levels of all that is. And that's why even the Masters turned around and said, you guys are doing what we were never able to do. As I said, only one soul did it, and that was Yeshua. The other souls had come in, projected themselves into the physical in order to assist mankind over many, many civilizations and cultures. But they always left. Whereas Jeshua showed the eternal life in the physical itself. He showed we were birthless and we were deathless. Okay, dear heart. Yes, little one. Yes. In fact, what I decided was that I said, well, I enjoy this physical manifestation. I'm going to walk back into this pair of old slippers. I'm perfectly happy with it. But if I need another Maserati, I'll get one. Do you see what I'm saying here? What you do is very simply, because anything that is I am not is called illusion. Our walls, everything, even though it appears very real for you, there's only the perfection. You see, again, as I look at you, as I look at every single brother on this planet, there's only perfection in front of me. I know in my consciousness that that manifestation may think it is not in its love consciousness and be in its fear. And I realize it's in what we call illusion, but I only acknowledge its perfection. So what you do is you do not buy into the illusion, but how you can help through the solar consciousness, as we are calling it. And I'm using that expression because the macrocosmic consciousness knows everything is perfect, everything's in order, exactly what it's been doing. But in solar consciousness, as part of this physical manifestation, you can simply call in the presence to take command. That's all you do. You don't make a decision. You just let the beloved, and the beloved can even say something through you without an interference, and something can be dissipated just out of the blue. You are the presence acting at all times. You can just simply say, I am the presence here at all times. That's all you require to say. I am is all there is. Okay. Yes, beloved. Hello, little one. Welcome. That's exactly. Yes, matter is being, you're absolutely right. Matter is being raised in consciousness, but because of our perception of dualities, because of, again, we see ourselves, instead of as one beingness, we have seen ourselves fragmented. Many of the fragments are not aware of that process taking place, because their fragmentation is so powerful based on their fear energies of the I can't, I should, I think, I ought, I not, not, or the I am not process, as we call. This is part of Creator in its journey. You just simply embrace your I am not. But it is to realize that nothing outside of you exists at the same time. Now, this is where so beautifully the Course of Miracles was brought in. Because the Course of Miracles was a wonderful piece of work conveyed through the higher expanded levels to try and help people linearly, intellectually understand what was taking place. And it was particularly for those people who had a propensity to be more mental because they couldn't feel with their hearts. So, of course, Jeshua ben Joseph tried to bring this through very strongly to an academic to get this one presented in academic terms where there was no what we call perception of religion or spirituality, where a lot of the academics could accept it without it being caught up perhaps in some emotive religious concept in some respect. Not to say all academics don't have that experience, but I can certainly say that I came from no what we call spiritual concept when I was woken up. I didn't even know what God was. I never thought about it. And probably that was a good thing because my thought wasn't there about God. So God just simply presented to me. It's experiential, as we say. So what we're saying to you is you are the reflective image. You are what your world is. You know, we are, so each one of us can perceive our world differently. But, you know, when people say to me, I'm going to heal the planet, I say, sweetheart, why don't you get healed yourself first? When you know who you are, there's nothing to heal. This is when I'm very clear about it. But whilst you're going through your levels, you may feel that you have to go and do something like that. And I'm not negating those instruments that you will use, and others will come to you. But it's not you being the healer. You're already your perfection. People will come to you not knowing their perfection, but they will come and look at their reflective perfection through you. And the instruments are tools that simply manifest in the external world, as we will say, whether it's through some form of counseling, some form of healing modalities or something. There's no such thing. There's nothing to heal. All that happens is your consciousness assists, raise, as I am lifted up, JC said, so all is lifted with me. And that's what you have to remember. I am is all there is. So I am is simply raising itself in the physical. That's all that's happening here. Yes, beloved of my heart. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let me explain this. This is absolutely beautiful. Because when we realize we're the unlimited or the limitless light, then all we present are facets. Because I asked Jeshua ben Joseph and I said, how come I can see you? He said, because I'm presenting a facet. That was good enough for me. I knew immediately what he meant. He simply said, I simply want your attention as the unlimited light, and therefore I'm getting your attention because you've known me in as a sailing in some past experiences here. So he said, you will recognize me, that's why. I had some who presented, and I said, who the blazes are you, basically. But what we're saying is, these are facets, they're prisms, and it's like reversing a coin. And of course, the diamond is a perfect example. You can see all that is if you can see the whole diamond, but most of the time you can only see a part of the diamond or one facet of the diamond. And even in this consciousness, we can only see one reflection of the diamond. The diamond is multi-leveled universe, it's multi, what we call interdimensional and multi-level and multi-dimensional universes itself. That's what the diamond is, that's the limitless light itself. So a facet will present, it's a soul facet that simply presents for you, which you can accommodate in your resonance or your energy at that time. At the time when I said, how come I can see you? He said, I've raised your consciousness. I said, you've done what? He said, we've woken you up. So you're in a higher vibratory level at this moment. And that's the reason why I've been able to step down, so we've met halfway for you to be able to accommodate what you are experiencing at this moment in time. And I can tell you right now, well, at the time when the facet of Francis presented to me, the love was so phenomenal, I had to beg him to stop. That'll give you some idea of the consciousness that I was experiencing. It is a consciousness. It's the unlimited I Am presence. That's it. But the I Am has many levels of itself, whether we call the ascended levels, the celestial, the archangelic. These are simply for our linear constructs, for our language. It's the language of light that simply steps itself down and gives us the symbologies we require in order to experience who we really are. Okay? Yes, dear heart. Yes, you are. Yes. 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 Totally. Stand back. Stand back from it. Realize it's just the presence itself that's acting through you, and you are part of Mother Earth as she is transcending in her collective grids to another level. Every grid is open at this moment, and there are hundreds and thousands of them, including our thought forms, our grids as well. So it's a huge one. All right. It's a huge one. Namaste, dear ones. Namaste. Thank you for coming. Yes, of any grace, you're welcome. What, dear heart? Dear heart, Creator has its manifestation on every level of consciousness. That's the best way I can say. Consciousness is. That being the case, you can bet your sweet life, we, in our perception, may not think that there could be such a thing, but the Creator, everything is consciousness. This is consciousness. Everything is consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's it. Exactly it. Our consciousness decides, you see, when you're open and unlimited, Creator is an open-ended universe of creation. So anything, you know, it's only our perceptual imagery that says, unless we can see it. Perfect example of whereby, even in our with our parents and the children, the children, most of the time, up to the 4.5 years of age, to 5, can actually see elemental kingdoms, they can see devic kingdoms, they can see all these things. But what stops them and shuts them down is when the parents say that I can't see it, and therefore it doesn't exist. So the symbology takes over, and the child then is conditioned to not seeing it. Again, it's resonance fields, always, it works on that level. You see, it's the critical mass that affects the whole. Now, as we are, as the critical mass taking off, we can affect the whole of this to push it through to another level. It's bigger than we realize as well. Much bigger. Yes, dear heart. No, not at all. The peace in the... All right, the peace in the relationship is to hear what you feel more than anything else. What happens is our emotions become so strong because we're still working with emotional tendencies where our emotions will have a problem. My God, can we leave this person? Are they going to be hurt? And most of the time we're hurting them by not following our hearts. That's the best thing I can give to you, is to follow your heart. It's not a question of denying your brother. You are looking at the beloved. Now, most of the time, in fact, again, I'll share with you, my ex-husband is one of my best friends. He said, what you did allowed me to wake up. He said, it was the greatest gift of love I ever received. He said, it took me a little while to work it through. But he said, I was given 24 hours to walk out with a change of clothes and a passport. And it was not to deny the world, it was to walk out in love itself. And to surrender with love everything to my family, which is what I did. At the time, my family were bemused and confused, but thy will was so strong for me, I knew it couldn't be. In fact, this is what was said to me, beloved, it is either going to be thy will or my will. And I knew it had to be thy will. My father had called me, the higher self had called me. So I had to even let go of how I perceived myself physically in relationship to another. That is what we call selfless. That's when you move into that level of that Christing energy coming in, where you accept the Christ. And when I say Christ, I'm not talking about one person. I'm talking about the consciousness itself of love. Mm-hmm. Totally and utterly. We're so caught up in our form that we've allowed our form to dictate to us so powerfully. That's where, yes, exactly. You don't have to try and get through anything. You just ask the presence to handle it for you. But what I'm saying is, as my... All right, okay, you see, this is it. But it's not in denial, please understand, it's not in denial of the soul. The soul will wake up when it's ready to wake up. And as my husband said to me, by you doing what you did, I got moving. He said, I realize now, he said, that was selfless. We had a wonderful marriage. I was married for nearly 30 years. I had everything I could possibly want. But I was then given a 24-hour open window and told, that's it. You are, you know, not in denial of him. He said, I now realize it was in honor, exactly, he said, because I was able to get moving. Yes, beloved. Yes, dear heart. I'm going to accommodate you and say there at this moment in time in consciousness, there are more souls in female incarnation that are awake than males. I'll tell you why. It's to bring back the balance of yin. That's why. And the Holy Spirit is so powerful that, you see, you can only go to the Father through the Holy Spirit, and that is the feminine principle, the creative love principle itself. That being the case, because the woman has a propensity for her creative levels very powerfully, she is less what we call caught up with the yang forms of how we perceive everything. Yang is based on physicality, it's based on intellectual, it's based on form so powerfully that for soul to come in what we call the gender of male is a very powerful construct, and it's very difficult or very challenging for that male to wake up, because even his spiritual concept is based on normally some form of fundamental religion where it's based where only a male can be nearest to God, and God is a male. Do you see what I'm saying? So for this to take place, they started to bring in souls in what we call more expanded souls, which would present in feminine gender, and as was said to me so beautifully at the time by Francis to me, he said, "You are a master, dear heart. Not all masters have to be men." And I went, "Oh, okay, I didn't understand." He said, "No," I said, "Well, why have you chosen?" He said, "Because," he said, "we are going to bring the masters through as females at this moment to bring the balance in. But it was not to over the male. It was to equalize and to balance. That's all this is about. So we, are, in our projective forms, have presented for the highest purpose, not nothing to do with gender benders or anything like that going on, or battles of the sexes." Because let me explain this to you why. And we understand that. There are a lot of... But what we and perhaps this is going to be an interesting one for you. I'm going to say this very clearly. There are souls on this planet that don't need male or female. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you move through into a Christing, and you move into what we call an ascended mastery, there is no requirement for male or female outside of yourself. You are completely married to your beloved on every level. That's the lover and the beloved coming together. Now, there are a number of souls that are incarnate here who are going to present that. Not every soul. There are still souls that are consciously talking about spirituality but want their mate outside because they're still in their need processes and they still feel that they're not complete without having someone outside. Now, not to negate that. I'm not negating that. They will probably present what we call the golden age of the prototype of the divine male-female relationship and be the example and set the model, the template for the new Adamic principle coming in. But there's more than the Adamic principle. I realized it was more than the Adamic principle, that I had come in to play a part for the Adamic principle, but I didn't need to stay in the Adamic principle. Make sense? Okay. All right. I understand what you're saying. Right, your godhood will come in automatically for you. This is, I'm very clear, and it's so important I address this one, because this you've brought a valid point about how much to address your godhood and your manhood, if we can put it that way, okay? Which is most understandable. Your godhood comes in automatically for you, where it transcends you automatically without you having to go looking. Now, it's no good you forcing yourself into celibacy. If you're still feeling that sexual energy that you require, it means that chakra needs to be balanced still. Okay. What happens is, and this is where we can bring in the Eastern traditions very powerfully, whereby celibacy was encouraged, and not just Eastern, but in what we call the monasteries, the nunneries, and all this sort of thing. It was, again, that search for the beloved. But the beloved cannot be searched for. It can only be accepted. So what I'm saying to you here, let the beloved decide when it's ready to finish with your manhood on another level. This is what we're saying to you very strongly. You said you went searching. And of course, most of the time, you would have only found that level of your consciousness at the time in that other person. Does that make sense? You were trying to balance your female or your male. It doesn't matter. And this is what this is all about. We simply projected ourselves. We're oneness in duality at this moment in time, but we're still the lover and the beloved. Now, how that you allow that to happen is you can't force yourself into a celibacy. Here again, I'm going to share with you, my ex-husband is one of my greatest friends and has so lovingly said, "Please use me as an example." When I transcended that level of consciousness, and my husband was still a very warm-blooded male. And this is what happened for me. And this was before I left what we call and walked back in again. This is when I was given the 24 hours to walk out, and it may help you, is that I then informed my husband that I could not give him what he wanted anymore because there was no desire for me. But what I did say to him, I said, but I love you, darling, and I will honor if you still feel you need that, then whoever it is will be welcome in my house. Don't go away to a hotel and hide and find. She will be welcome because I love you, and therefore she will be welcome in my house. And that, you know, that being the case, then, you know, this is what happened. Well, he didn't go ahead with it. As he said to me 48 hours later, he said it was an unbelievable thing that night. I said to him, if you feel that you cannot, we cannot still be together, because at the time I hadn't been asked to leave yet, then I said, you please have the divorce and have everything you want and go and find something. 48 hours later, he said to me, well, he said, beloved, he said, darling, I didn't marry you just for that part of you. But what did take place is when I did have to walk away a year later, the time, obviously, the higher levels, so the time wasn't ready. I then walked out with incredible love in my heart. A lovely, beautiful woman walked into his life much later on, was completely at his level of consciousness, to such an state, as he said to me, we're great friends, and he arranges some of the tours. When I last saw him, he said to me he had completed in that relationship, and he said, you know what? He said, I went absolutely berserk sexually, he said, and now I'm through it completely and utterly. Yes. Yes. Isn't that beautiful? Because you know why? Because you were already looking for a similar consciousness level. So you were resonating on one level together, but you hadn't worked through those other levels. And that's why I'm saying to everybody, you must work through your 3D levels. You must work through your relationship levels, your emotional levels, your mental levels, your sexual levels. Again, it requires that you...
End of side one.
Yes, dear one. Yes, yes. And that's beautiful, dear heart, because this is what we're saying. Everyone, every soul is at different stages of the journey, no more, no less. That's why I said we have two principles taking off. We have the macrocosmic consciousness taking off on one level, and we have the solar consciousness or the microcosmic at the same time, and they're both joining. So, of course, there's confusion as to which is which, you know, high or low, and we're saying it's one and the same. And the one and the same, the oneness is when, as I said, it becomes selfless, where selfless doesn't require and need somebody to satisfy your sexual chakra or something like that. Do you see what I'm saying here? Not a negation of it. The human principle will continue for hundreds and thousands of years. This is the Adamic principle. That's what was explained to me, and what I realized was I'd come in to help push the Adamic principle, but I didn't need to keep reincarnating in the Adamic principle, because being there, done that, worn the t-shirt, as we say. Okay, dear heart? Okay. Yes, little one. Yes. The stick and the carrot. This is exactly what... This was the mosaic. That's exactly it. The mosaic law was extremely appropriate in our mythology at that time. Our historical mythology was the collective consciousness of Earth, which basically we'd reached a level where the higher level said, we've got to get this Adamic principle moving a little. It's stuck yet again. It's in its outside deities. We've got to bring it into oneness, because it's oneness here in its microcosmic consciousness. It doesn't realize who it is. The souls are all that is, and they simply cut themselves off, and they are in external idol worship. So that's when they opened up Moses. And that's when Moses was brought through this energy, but he acted as a filter, which got a, you know, his filter was a very strict patriarchal consciousness. The yang was very powerful. And of course, it conveyed very clearly, thou shalt not. But really what it was a memory coding that was to try and help us come back into the oneness. Akhenaten brought through the amen. The word amen is from the time of the Akhenaten, the Egyptian. You know, I mean, it's amazing how we prolonged, even in our Christian concepts, all the Egyptian paganism, and or what we call the paganism, or the Druid, there's many, you know, the Green Man and everything like that, that Isis was turned into Mother Mary. It's just amazing what we did in our mythologies to get us moving. There's always the Trinity. Isis, Osiris, and Horus. And, you know, Elijah, Jesus, and I've forgotten who the other guy was, came as a Trinity. We're the Trinity. We've been in a duality, and we had to pull back into our Trinity again. And that's, you know, the creator level in our dualities, or bringing us into the oneness and joining the two together into the one. So what I'm saying to you is that then when Jeshua walked in, that was when that mythology had to go, because it no longer accommodated. It can no longer be done through a threat. We wrote the threat in our mythology as a collective consciousness, historically. Then JC came in to bring the love principle in, which was the experiential process, not the linear concept. That was when we started to move out of yang, and we started to bring in Holy Spirit, and that is the divine feminine in the heart chakra. I'm not talking about genders, I'm talking about the yin-yang energy, that feminine energy, which is the creative principle of love, which is the heart of love itself. And that's God, isness, started to come in into this one and wake up in its isness. All right, dear one. Yes, dear heart. Yes. And, well, okay, don't say anything. Honor who they are. It's, again, to love them unconditionally. Jeshua ben Joseph only ever spoke of love. He never spoke of separation. When people talk to me and ask me, am I in a religion? I say, no, I'm not, dear heart. And they say, what are you? I say, if you call it religion, it's called unconditional love. I say, because religion separates. Unity is only oneness itself, love. And therefore, I don't class myself, but I don't negate the paths that people will come down in their linear thought forms, in their fear programs, which has been based on the word or and how they've interpreted the word. You will always write your own symbologies and language. I mean, you heard me say how God is interpreted by many different religions already. Jesus is either an historical figure on a cross, he's either the Christ, he's either, you've got to worship him or you're going to go to hell and damnation. Again, if I can put it this way, it's the youth or what we call the very, very young consciousness. It's a young consciousness. Don't forget, the Adamic principle is only just above the primitive stage. Please understand that. It's the souls who come in and lift it in consciousness. So in some respects, this is a very young species, and they have been like children in a kindergarten. So when, the consciousness starts to shift them, there's always a resistance, and of course, there's always a death for a birth to take place. And it's just a rebirth. And of course, we just rewrite the language. But I'm saying don't even rewrite the language anymore. Love is no language. It's the light of all that is. And so it's just to stay in your heart. You don't have to argue. Love requires no defense, for it sees no attack. Never did. All right. Yes, dear one. Is to be, to serve the divine will, I am that. Your responsibility, your brother, is you are your brother. It is when you love and you are in love, then you will say, how may I be used, Father? Beloved of my heart, use me. And if that means you'll be used physically to go and wash pans at a hospice or something like that, so you'll do it. If it means that you'll be like Mother Teresa, who looked at the Christ as she bent down to a small being on the street, she only saw through the eyes of the Christ, to the face of the Christ, she served. The greatest service is unconditional love. It's not just physically, it's beingness itself. That's the greatest service. Is to know that everyone is the beloved. Lord Jesus, he only ever saw perfection in his brother. People say he healed. I said he never did. He told me that. He said he only saw perfection. He comforted, but only when asked. He didn't try and convince anybody about anybody. Why would he? He would have denied his father. He knew he was the beloved, and he was looking at the beloved. That's what I mean by that. That's the greatest service. Thy will is the greatest service. The my will is always based on the me. The me, 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 the separative consciousness. I need this, I need that. I need you to feel good about myself, all this sort of thing. No. When as I'm looking at you, all I keep saying is, thank you, beloved. Okay. Yes, dear heart. Well, absolutely. It's not to negate the mythologies, because we wouldn't be here but for the mythologies. And look where it's got us. It's been some interesting programs of mythologies. But again, this has been part of the experience of linear mythology or historical time period. We've been in historical time frames. And it's only now, as Creator said, these time frames are out. And that's you from your higher levels have said, well, I don't want to play in this drama anymore. I want to wake up. I want to raise myself to another level. Now, because we work in a language here, the language of light has many levels of itself. And that will be physics, symbologies, tones, harmonics. It doesn't matter. Colors. Ali's an artist, so she gets her language through the colors that she paints on the canvas. There are many expressions of ourselves, multidimensionally, that we will pick up about ourselves. So everybody is awakening to different resonance fields, not more, not less, but different levels of themselves as they're being downloaded, as Earth is releasing her magnetic grids, where it's all systems go. It's like, whoa, we're home, we're off, we're out. And we're being released from our consciousness of linear consciousness. But as a process of that, we will have memory grids as we're opening up. I am here to honor all the mythologies, but I'm saying the historical. and Atlantis is historical, but we are recreating history of Atlantis is helping us to recreate a more pleasant mythology about Atlantis than we had as an Atlantic mythology. Make sense? And therefore, instead of misusing our power, we will be divine power, not just the me power, the little I power, the egoic power. This is the I am, and we can have all these magnificent abilities as what we call them, and I will say as the new Atlantis, as it's a terminology that I will use. But and yes, we will. We can project ourselves to open. We can present anything to open up. When we're ready to find it, we'll find it, dear heart. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just let the present. That's it. The present. Exactly. That's all it is. Is the presence is saying, "Hi, I'm here, and I'm showing you levels of myself that you may not remember, but I'm giving you tetrahedral physics. I'm giving you this. I'm giving you that to show you, hey, baby, you're multidimensional." And the microcosm is saying, "Wow, you know." And that's really what's happening more than anything else. Okay. But the only way I say is the experiential consciousness called I am that, which is love in your heart, and love is selfless. It doesn't even think about its body vehicle anymore. Okay, dear one. Well, thank you, dear hearts, for coming here and for listening to me. I hope that perhaps I've been able to give you some window on what is taking place here. Even as I've spoken to you, please understand, as I've been speaking to you here, there is only a manifestation of a voice box. Now, that sounds funny. I do not even think about what I'm going to say. I never prepare a thing. The presence is in charge at all stages. The Father, whatever level, wants to speak through me and will present through how you have received it. But it's not what I'm saying, beloved, and I do ask you to realize that I honor all your perceptions of where, how you prefer to use your language, whether it's through the great religions, the great mystical paths, the great esoteric schools. Because we are a multidimensional consciousness, and we're multi-layered and multi-leveled here on this earth. We are billions of facets. We're probably about 6 billion facets at this moment. And each of us is a unique being as a facet from our many galactic universes. So what I may say, some may resonate, some may not, but it doesn't matter because it's not what I'm saying. I'm here to say that I accommodate and honor whatever you are bringing in, and no state am I negating some of the channeling that's coming in. What I'm saying is, don't leave it there. Become the instrument, not just for somebody else. If I, that's why I'm saying you guys now are at a stage where you don't need to go to other people to find out who you are. But people will come to you to find out who they are. So it was not a negation of the workshop. That was not what I was saying. You will lead, and whether we call them workshops or some form of gathering, but there's no longer the little I involved. It's the I am presence that chooses to engender its gift and its ability through you as the instrument with the gift. But you don't decide what is my gift or what is my mission. You just ask the presence to take command at every stage and let it use you. I and my Father are one. So even as I've been speaking to you, not to get caught up, at no stage would I ever dream of seeing myself as separate from you. I don't. I am you. You are me. And I'm just saying, thank you, beloved of my heart, for the exquisite joy and the delight that I receive in being in your presence in this most exquisite manifestation as each of you are now presenting as the jewel in the crown of Creator. Thank you, dear hearts. Thank you.
End of tape.